Welcome to Bollywood is for Lovers. I'm Erin Fraser.
And I'm Matt Bowes. In this episode, we continue our exploration of the decades of Anil Kapoor with three films from the 2000s.
First up, Kapoor plays the ethical village leader and his younger brother, accused of unethical behavior, in T. Rama Rao's Balandi from 2000.
Then Kapoor plays a desperate father searching the streets of Calcutta for his son in Sudhir Mishra's Calcutta Mail from 2003.
Finally, Kapoor plays a mobster trying to get his best friend's sister married in Anis Bazmi's ensemble comedy Welcome from 2007.
Before we begin, we'd like to respectfully acknowledge that we record this podcast on Treaty 6 territory, home to First Nations and Métis people.
Matt, I can't remember the last time we put an episode in our Anil Kapoor series. We've only done two. We did the 1980s and we did the 1990s.
Has to be at least 2 or 3 years ago.
Yes, and now we're here at the 2000s.
Time is a flat circle, as they said.
We really like to start a series on something, do a few episodes, then forget about it for a while, and then when
forget
we're trying
about
to
it for literal years.
And then when we're trying to think of episodes, we're like, wait a second. Our Anil Kapoor series.
Yeah.
Yes. So in this series, of which this is, I'm fairly sure this is the third installment, because we did his 80s, we did his 90s. We are going to be looking at three films from the 2000s that star Anil Kapoor. Now, Anil Kapoor is one of our favorite actors in Bollywood, mm-hmm. and also one of the first actors that we became familiar with. Mm-hmm. And we will get to that in this episode where we first encountered Anil Kapoor. But I have to say, when I was looking at what to watch for the 2000s, despite the fact that, you know, we're going to get to kind of a big career moment for him that happens in this decade, these movies didn't really excite me. Like,
yeah.
the stuff in the 2000s, because he's, you know... He's building up to Race, which is this...
Welcome does feel like a kind of race...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's building up to Race, which, you know, is this decade we're not going to talk about. But he's moving away from a lot of the starring roles that he has in the 80s and 90s.
He's a dad now.
Into more supporting roles, more ensemble films. And they just, you know, when you're looking them over, they don't really grab you. As, you know, there's no Tazab.
Yeah. I mean, we saw this with Bachchan as well. And it was actually, hilariously enough, in the 90s he was going into this. But in the 2000s he has he comes back with ultimate dad roles in the 2000s.
Yeah, and I mean, I think as we continue through Anil Kapoor's career, you know, we're eventually going to get to things like AK versus AK, right? You mm-hmm. know, like, but this is, you know, certainly
I feel like Anil Kapoor hits this age and then never ages.
Yeah.
Right? Bachchan hits like this similar age and then starts getting the gray. He mm-hmm. gets the hilarious dye job in Major Saab.
Mm-hmm.
But Anil Kapoor has stayed this same age for the past 20 years.
And he's so suave.
Yeah.
And so handsome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like the first couple films...
He met a genie.
The first couple films we're going to discuss, he's still lead in. But yeah, this is... Throughout this decade, he moves more into supporting roles, more into ensembles.
And by now nowadays he does a lot of producing too.
Yeah, yes, and a lot of producing, you know, because he works with his daughters, a lot of producing on movies that are directed at women or about women, female-centric films, as they're called, which, you know, you love to see it.
Yeah, some of them are good.
Yeah, so a bit of a quick overview of this decade. He kicked it off with four films, the first one being Balandi, which is a double role, and choosing... These films, again, I find that, like, the 2000s are one of those eras where it can be oddly hard to find movies to watch.
Well, it's like at my work where older books you can find pretty easily, especially if they're in the public domain, that's easy. But around the 2000s, I think, is when there's a technology shift
mm-hmm.
and file types...
Yeah.
Like in books especially, we used a program called Quark to make books, and that is not supported anymore. And the cameras and stuff that they were using, you could tell that it's kind of the last gasp of film photography and moving into digital. And early digital, I don't know if it's been kind of held onto as well. A lot of this would have gone to DVD, and DVDs are getting hard to find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's definitely kind of like a an aesthetic jump that happens that we see elsewhere in Bollywood as well, between kind of the early 2000s films that we're going to discuss and Welcome in 2007. Yeah. Like, there's a very clear aesthetic jump, which to me is 100% digital camera.
And I remember when we started watching Bollandi and you see the kind of CGI, it is kind of the title.
Yeah.
It is kind of weird because, gun to my head, I don't know if I could tell you what year it comes out because it, Anil Kapoor looks the same. Wrecker looks the same.
Yeah.
It could have been the mid-90s. It could have been like the late 80s.
Yeah.
The story is very much a throwback. Mm-hmm. It's only that CGI that could tip you off. And also some of the 2000s fashion that Ravina Tandon wears.
Yes.
Like, it's very much a strange period.
Yeah. Yeah.
A liminal time.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, there's films from every decade that we have trouble getting a hold of. I think a lot of kind of the beloved stuff from the 80s and 90s and the 70s, you know, there's quite an interest in having access to those things. And I think the 2000s, like, obviously we've seen many films from the 2000s.
It's no one's favorite decade.
Yeah. It just, again, like, I think between kind of looking over the films that we were considering for the episode and then what was actually available to us, it just kind of, you know, the decade wasn't grabbing our attention. Mm-hmm. Anyways, as I was saying, so Anil Kapoor had four films in 2000. So the first was Bollandi. The second was Pukkar.
We have talked about Pukkar.
We have talked about Pukkar.
I liked it better than all three of these.
Me too. Pukkar, he won his first National Film Award for Best Actor, and he was nominated for the Filmfare Award for Best Actor. We talked about it last year in our Madhuri Madness series. Pukkar is great.
Yeah.
Like, so much fun. The other two films are Hamara Dil Aapke Paas Hai, which was a huge box office hit.
And we couldn't find.
And yeah, it's him and Aishwarya Rai again. So re-teaming after Tal, which is great.
Yeah, the other problem is that we have seen a lot of his really good movies from this time.
Yeah.
So we're kind of a little hamstrung in what we can pick.
Yeah. And then Karobar, The Business of Love, which actually started filming in the 90s. Hmm. And you think that we would have more to say about this film because it's directed by Rakesh Roshan.
Oh,
yeah. And we just finished watching a documentary, a four-part documentary about the Roshans, in which Anil Kapoor is one of the interviewees.
But I don't think this movie's mentioned at all.
I don't think this movie was mentioned at all. It was much delayed.
Yeah.
We will talk about the Roshans, but when I was kind of looking at Anil Kapoor's 2000s filmography, I was like, oh, we know nothing about this movie, even though we just finished a documentary about Rakesh Roshan that he was in.
Yeah.
That Anil Kapoor was in, and yet we know nothing. So who knows if it was a notable film? Certainly not notable enough to put in the documentary. In 2002, he puts on a fat suit for Bad Hi Ho, Bad Hi, which from what I understand is like a Nutty Professor kind of thing.
Sure.
I don't want to see that.
You know, I bet he would probably be pretty good as the Nutty Professor, though.
Yeah.
He's good at comedy.
Yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably the best part of Welcome, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 2003, he starred in Hani Irani's directorial debut, Arman. This film sounds really interesting. I would like to track it down. It's the first time he was in a film directed by a woman. And it's also the first time he ever appeared on screen with Amitabh Bachchan. And from what I understand, this is a film of like Preeti Zinta forcing, I believe it's Anil Kapoor, to marry him. And it's set in a hospital. It seems very interesting.
You know, we should probably do an episode on Hani Irani because she's simultaneously the best thing in Angry Young Men and the Roshans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's a pretty fascinating person. And we could do an episode on her stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
On writing especially.
I agree. In 2005, he stars in Anis Bazmi's blockbuster No Entry, which earns him a Filmfare nomination for Best Comedian. So, you know, this is a big ensemble film. It's a comedy. He gets a lot of notice for
it. He's getting a lot of good, good awards attention this decade.
Yeah. In 2006, he travels to Alberta for Humco Diwana Karge.
And you would have been 20 years old then. You had your chance, and you
had my chance. Well, he was in Calgary.
Blew it.
Yeah, we still haven't seen this film. It is on Netflix now. Back when we were looking at movies shot in Alberta, it wasn't available. But it's an Akshay Kumar Katrina Kaif vehicle.
This is the junkyard. They have that dance, I think. I think you've shown me that.
Yeah.
And they go to West Edmonton Mall.
Yeah, they go to West Edmonton Mall for a little bit. Anil Kapoor plays Katrina Kaif's, fiance. Like, it's very much a supporting role. Hmm. 2007, he teams back up with Anis Bazmi for Welcome. This earns him another nomination for Best Supporting Actor at the Film Fair Awards. And it's a huge, huge hit, as we're going to discuss. Big, big movie, big ensemble cast, big broad comedy. 2008, this is a very important year in Anil Kapoor studies. Mm-hmm. 2008 is the year where we have Race and Tashan, two big ensemble action films. Tashan doesn't do as well as Race, but two big action movies. And this is also the year of Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah, that's where we would have seen him first.
Yes, so this is where we were first introduced to Anil Kapoor in Danny Boyle's Slumdog Millionaire, which obviously goes on to sweep the awards here in North America. And Kapoor himself receives a Screen Actors Guild Award for Outstanding Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture.
Good job.
And this is where he gets the taste of Hollywood, of kind of international stardom.
He gets 24 after this, presumably?
24, Mission Impossible.
Yeah. And then he is Jack Bauer in the Indian 24.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2009, there's just a couple cameos, so not much to say. And then we will get to the 2010s the next time we return to this series.
Three or four years from now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess,
seems like he had a pretty successful decade when it comes awards and things.
Yeah, but you can see what I'm saying about that transition of kind of leading man to ensembles, to comedy ensembles, action ensembles, and then being in one of the biggest films of the late 2000s, a very iconic and beloved film. I haven't seen Slumdog Millionaire in
since it came out,
years.
17 years ago.
But he makes such an impression.
Because he's the game show host,
The game show host, yeah.
And then he jokes about this in T-Smart Con.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's great.
Which is great. I love him joking about being in Slumdog Millionaire in T-Smart Con.
Yeah,
because Anil Kapoor seems to have such a sense of humor about himself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one thing that we're really drawn to.
So it's charming.
Him. Yeah. Yeah. He's just, he's a good actor. He's good at drama, he's good at action, he's good at comedy, and he, genuinely seems like a guy you want to have a drink with.
But is he good in 2000's Balandi, directed by T. Rama Rao?
Yeah, do you want to, and anything you want to say about Anil Kapoor before we get into Balandi?
I mean, okay, so how many of these have I seen? Pukhara seen, Balandi I've seen.
I didn't put every film in the list. Like,
I can't say I love his comedy.
Because
it is very broad.
Like, Laja's in here, which we've discussed.
Yeah. Laja was, that was kind of a, I don't know, that was a very pretentious movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like he's...
There's a thriller he did called My Wife's Murder, which looks kind of interesting.
Yeah, so from these sort of highlights, it feels like he's kind of managing that... exit from young leading man type role to older guy in an ensemble or, dad roles.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not quite dad roles yet, but he can do that stuff. And he's maybe doing it a bit more elegantly than Amitabh Bachchan did, who was doing the hot younger guy roles, in quotes, for maybe a lot longer than he should have.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think Anil Kapoor is very adaptable, even between these three. I mean, Balandi is a very over-the-top Masala-type picture, whereas Calcutta Mail is a bit more of a noir, and then Welcome is a broad comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's always had the range.
Yeah, and that's another thing. When we're choosing these films, we are kind of thinking about different yeah. styles. Yeah. As well as different points in his career.
Anyway, Balandi, directed by T. Rama Rao, starring Anil Kapoor, Rekha, Ravina Tandon, Harish Kumar, Paresh Rawal, Shakti Kapoor, and Rajnikanth. This is the remake of a Tamil film called Natamai. And you get to describe the plot.
Oh, I get to describe the plot?
Well, I'm going to look up the Amitabh Bachchan movie that this reminded me of.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Anil Kapoor has a double role. He plays both the older brother and then one of the younger brothers.
So there's
there are three brothers.
Three brothers.
And we're in kind of a small town, and the town is run by the oldest of the brothers. He and his wife, Rekha, have essentially raised his two younger brothers, played by Anil Kapoor again, as I said, and Harish Kumar, as their own sons. They have no children themselves, and the two brothers are very much like their sons. The older brother, he runs the town. His word is essentially law.
Yeah.
But he's not some sort of tyrant or anything. He's an ethical man.
He's a headman, and he's kind of he kind of like holds court, mm-hmm. and people bring him. I hesitate to say legal cases, but generally just like disagreements that people are having, right?
Mm-hmm. He inherited this position from his father, who you see in flashbacks played by Rajnikanth.
This is apparently Rajnikanth's last Hindi role.
Yes, I was reading that. So the film is about what happens when the younger version of Anil Kapoor, Arjun, gets married to Ravina Tandon. And at first the marriage isn't going all that well. Ravina Tandon feels
she's
that, like,
a modern girl, city girl.
Yeah, she's modern. She feels like her husband is kind of under the thumb of his brother. Doesn't really understand
why. He looks really similar. Sometimes it's hard to figure out which one's which.
Doesn't really understand why her husband, and essentially everyone in this village, does what this man says. And this all kind of comes to conflict, I guess. When a school teacher in town who has the hots, like really has the hots for Anil Kapoor.
She pulls him into her gourd pile and everything.
There's an incredibly strange scene. There appears to be a giant pile of gourds in
She's
her
all
living
soaked
room.
Up
I
and,
don't know why.
Slipping and sliding in the gourds.
Yeah, and he's reading a magazine article about sex crimes. It's a wild, wild scene that I truly did not know what I was watching.
Yeah.
He's a married man, though, so he, you know... Like,
he's an honorable guy. His brother is basically Judge Dredd, so he can't do anything wrong.
Yeah, so he, you know, like, pushes away her advances, but this causes her to become quite distraught. She accuses him of sexual assault and then commits suicide. And so...
How convenient.
So Anil Kapoor, the senior, the elder Anil Kapoor, is then put into a situation where he has to decide whether or not to banish his younger brother for his indiscretion.
For like 12 years.
And this mirrors an incident that happened with his father, Rajnikanth, when he was younger, that involves Shakti Kapoor. And if Shakti Kapoor is showing up in this film, you know he is up to no good.
Yeah, Shakti Kapoor has never... As far as I know, not playing a super arch villain. There's also a sort of prophecy that if Dada, so like old Anil Kapoor, ever makes a decision incorrectly, he will immediately die.
Yes.
I think you can see where this is going.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's a film about brothers, though I might as well be
the
about
third brother,
father and
really,
sons.
Yeah, the third brother, not really a factor. Although the third brother is in love with Shakti Kapoor's daughter.
Yeah, yeah. About kind of rivalry, generations of rivalry.
Village animosity.
Yeah, about ethics. With also like some fun dance numbers.
That's what saves it, is the music.
A really strange recurring joke. Really strange recurring jokes, I should say. There's more than one recurring joke.
Paresh Rawal and his inflated belly.
Yeah, like, so after the gourd scene, Paresh Rawal is like spying on them and then spontaneously grows like a pregnant stomach. And
he's
then,
pregnant with the truth.
Yeah.
And he has to tell the gossip.
And then there's no one around in the village but the animals until eventually he finds someone.
Some new guy.
And he tells that person he has AIDS? What? Like, I did not always know what I was watching here.
All of the Paresh Rawal.
There's some drag with the Paresh Rawal.
Every scene that he was in, I felt myself getting stupider.
Yeah.
You could have taken all of that out and had a, you know, 3.5-star movie.
Yeah.
But as is, anytime that guy shows up and his dad, who's like horny for every chick in town, and he's trying to figure out who his mother is, that really drags down the film. The music's good, though.
Mm-hmm.
The movie that this reminded me of, and let's see if you remember when this came out, is Suryavanshim.
I think it comes out like
Dynasty.
Really late 90s.
So that came out in 1999.
Yeah.
And then next year, a very, very similar movie. In Suryavanshim, Amitabh plays father and son,
mm-hmm.
whereas in Bulandi, Anil Kapoor plays like two brothers.
It didn't make sense that it was, I guess because they don't want Rekha to like be playing a mom character, so instead
she's
a barren wife,
yeah.
who like, you know, wants her. And I guess I didn't say that, like, Ravina Tandon gets pregnant after Rekha couldn't get pregnant, so everyone's like obviously very happy about that.
One of the better songs is that part.
Yeah I mean I agree with you, like what saves this movie is the songs.
Yeah.
I think like, yeah, so there's like the baby shower song, which is great. There's a song in the flashback sequence with Rekha and Anil Kapoor where she's just wearing the most opulent outfits.
That's the interval song. Just imagine it in your mind while listening to this.
It's great.
Yeah.
And then there's a really like strange song that like tries to incorporate some like rap and hip hop with Anil Kapoor and Ravina Tandon that should be cringe, is kind of cringe, but it kind of comes around to being a bop.
It's ripping off Mercy, Mercy, Mercy with that song.
Mm-hmm.
He rips that off. And also Anil Kapoor is wearing a Manchester United toque.
Yeah.
Yes, a toque. That's what it is.
He also has
That's
like
a Canadian
ja-
word. It's not a beanie. It's not a watch cap. It's a toque.
He also has like a jacket on and a shirt tied around his waist. Like it's a lot, but
it is sort of like someone second-handedly hearing about street fashion and then thinking like, well, we could probably do that.
Yeah.
So that's a really the song is a bop,
yeah.
But it is also a very strange scene. This movie is kind of boring.
Yeah, I think
Paresh Rawal, terrible.
Yeah, and I like Paresh Rawal, but
Paresh Rawal's comedic subplot sucks. I think we could all agree on that.
Yeah,
I don't care who his mom is, and again, it is taking time away from what could be an interesting story about brothers and village intrigue.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, like that, I did kind of like how villages fight each other too. They have like a battle every year where Shakti Kapoor sends people to fight both Anil Kapoors. But
Shakti Kapoor is just like a little.
A little? Over the top? Just a little?
Well, it's just like, it's a level
He's dressed
of,
like a Klingon.
It's a level of villainy that.
He's introduced punching his mother in the face.
Yeah, it's a level of villainy that I just think at times is a bit much for the film. I think ultimately, like, the movie's handle of kind of sexual assault is a little...
It's a little shaky.
It's a little shaky. That's a good word. It's misguided. We don't really see much of anything.
It's
but
used
just kinda,
as a plot point and not really given
yeah.
any sort of serious.
It's used as a plot mess. Point more than once and
yeah.
not given any sort of serious. And again, like the whole like Paresh Rawal kind of making a joke out of having AIDS is not like that doesn't age well.
In 2000.
Yeah.
I know it takes a while sometimes, but like.
Yeah.
By 2000, come
okay.
on.
Okay, but I mean, this is an Anil Kapoor episode, so what did you think of, like, Anil Kapoor on Anil Kapoor?
I liked him better as the old version. This was an interesting sort of new
yeah.
character for him to play. The young version is very much the same sort of, you know, local action hero type guy that he has often played in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought he brought some interesting kind of gravitas to Dada, the older one.
I was impressed with his rapport on screen with Rekha.
Yeah.
I would not have...
Relatively similar ages, too.
Yeah, I would not... Well, I think she's older than him.
Slightly.
Yeah. I would not have expected those two to work on screen as well as they do. I really like them together, actually.
A bit more than him and Ravina Tandon, I think.
Yeah, you know, we haven't seen Rowena Tandon in much. She was a big star. I always think of her in that song from Kapoor and Sons, where they give her a shout out. So I know that, you know, like, she has a reputation for being gorgeous. And sure, yeah, she's very pretty in this film.
With the caveat that she has some crazy 2000s hair, including, like,
yes,
a perm that's, like, stretched. It's, like, teased out perm in that one song with the hip-hop elements. And then another one, she's sort of got, like a Bjork-style chunky hair pointing out in all directions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's the only one, the only character, I think, who is in the year 2000. Whereas everyone else could easily be in an 80s film.
Well, as we said, she's, you know, she's modern. The modern woman.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if we've ever seen her before. Like, she's not an actress we have a lot of familiarity with.
Well, so far I thought she was okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think the role in any way is a showcase for her talents.
It's not a Madhuri Dixit type situation or a
Sri Devi.
Or a Sri Devi. Like, it's those sort of combinations. I don't think that she's there, but I could see a few more pictures with them and find out. It just didn't immediately click for me.
Yeah, she's also kind of a character that I think is a bit like, because she has to be like an unsatisfied wife for such a long time. And her then thing she's,
is, yeah, she has to be humbled in order to find out that village living is actually cool.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's,
it's just
not
like
really a good role.
She's not really a fun character in any way. Whereas,
think about Lapita Ladies from last year, where the one girl ends up in the village and she is a city girl who is educated.
Yeah.
And there is some kind of back and forth with them, but she also, like, invents new farming techniques and stuff. Like, there is more that they could have done with that, but really she just kind of prowls around the house and, like, vamps a little bit and then, there isn't too much going on for her to do.
No. No, she just kind of, she doesn't understand why no one wants to support their aunt, which is related to the Shakti Kapoor backstory. So she's kind of there to, like, question things.
She's the audience substitute.
Exactly, so that the audience understands kind of the setup of this village and the dynamic of this family.
But that's always the most boring role to have.
Yeah, she's not. And then for the second half of the film, it's just like, she's pregnant and isn't that great? Like, you know,
high five, young Anil Kapoor, you did it.
Finally, someone will carry on this family line. Like, she's just not an interesting character. So if listeners do have suggestions for good Rowena Tandon performances, I think we would be all ears.
I thought this movie was just okay. The songs made it better, but I would not have given him an award for this.
Well, he didn't.
Yeah, exactly. I would not have given him a reward for this film.
Yeah.
Because you did pitch this to me as the one that he won a Film Fair Award for. But you were wrong, actually. That was some other movie.
No, it was the National Film Award. I had mixed it up with Pukkar because they came out at the same time.
Pukkar's got a lot of good stuff. I like that.
However, I still think this was a good choice for the episode because it's... again, because the balance of the different kinds of films we're discussing, it's a double overall, and we're seeing two very different performances from Anil Kapoor in the same film.
I kind of liked Rajnikanth better than everyone else in the movie, and he's only in it for 10 minutes. Anyway, like, you guys know I love Anil Kapoor. This is not an amazing Anil Kapoor film.
No.
It's okay.
No. Balandi, everyone.
Yeah.
It's... the autocorrect...
Balandi. It's no Pukkar.
The autocorrect kept changing Balandi to Bland.
I think the autocorrect is trying to tell you something.
I have to say, yeah.
It's not wrong.
All right, what's the song, Matt?
So the interval song is that Rekha Wearing Gold that was alluded to earlier. Terry Akion Main from Balandi. Okay, so that was Terry Akion Main from Balandi. Next up, we got Calcutta Mail from 2003. Aaron's going to say all the names, and I'm going to tell you the plot.
This is directed by Sudhir Mishra. It stars Anil Kapoor, Rani Mukherjee, Manisha Kerala, Satish Kaushik, Sayaji Shinde, and Saurabh Shukla, who also is credited as one of the screenwriters of the film.
Yep.
It's a remake of the Telugu film Chudalu Vundi. I apologize for that pronunciation. And it's a thriller. I was very intrigued by this because it's a thriller. And this was the hardest film that we tracked down for this episode. We were very fortunate that our local library had a copy of this on DVD.
Yeah.
So we had to wait for it to come in, and I sent it to the wrong library to pick up, so then we had to wait even longer.
Are you noticing a trend here, though? Even with Suryavanshim as well.
It's a remake.
These are all Tamil remakes, or the Telugu remake, but like this is also when it looks like the leading men are just being... They're just remaking other leading man movies from South Indian industries.
Yeah.
So like, which is basically all they do now.
I will say though that like Balandi definitely had more of like a South kind of feeling to me than Calcutta Mail does.
Calcutta, we always feel Calcutta is like the city of mystery type place.
Yeah.
And this kind of fits into that. Get a nice big shot of the Howrah Bridge.
Yeah.
As soon as you see the Howrah Bridge, you know that someone's getting in trouble.
Yeah, and there's definitely elements of this film that, you know, like...
It's kind of noirish.
Yeah, again, that I can kind of... Like, that reminded me of Kahani.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's...
It feels like a dry run for Kahani.
In some ways, yes.
Yeah, so in this movie, Anil Kapoor is a charismatic drifter who ends up in Calcutta, and we're led to believe that he's a huge badass.
Yeah.
And some local gangsters are worried that he's coming to town.
Mm-hmm.
He moves into kind of a...
Boarding house?
Yeah, boarding house, a tenement. Like, it looks kind of sketchy at first, but it's actually sort of, like, quaint.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really interesting set. I don't know if it was actually a building or if it was just designed that way, but it's sort of got, like... You can look at it from far away and see inside of a bunch of rooms and stuff. Like, it's very well designed for film.
Yeah, they use that really well for a song with Rani Mukherjee.
Yeah.
Of, like, looking into this building. There is a lot of, like, location filming and, like, you're on location a lot in this film, which I think really, really helps the film. Like, it has this kind of feeling of being in Calcutta, being on these, like,
On the tram?
On the tram, on these kind of, in these train stations, in the streets.
It's got texture.
Yeah, it really does.
It also, this might be a bit of a stretch, but I got kind of a Wong Kar Wai vibe from some of the gunfights.
Mm.
And definitely like Hong Kong action with the way that guys get shot. Like, it's hard to explain, but dudes are taking like 6 or 7 bullets and like, and trying to shoot at the same time. Like, it reminded me of Hard Boiled and a few other things you can't see, but I'm making the gun, guns with the fingers. Like, I'm not saying it's as good, but it does seem like it's influenced by those films.
It definitely has a bit of kind of like a 90s Hong Kong vibe, but in Calcutta. Yeah.
So when he gets to this tenement building, he finds out that his room is basically being used already by Rani Mukherjee. So he agrees to just sleep out on the balcony.
Yeah.
And we find out the sad history of this guy. So he's actually, I don't think it's a huge spoiler, this movie's 22 years old. And you already said it, but he's there to find his son.
Mm-hmm.
He, in the very... South Indian style, basically. The middle of the movie is essentially a whole other movie where we find out about Anil Kapoor and Manisha Kerala meeting. She's...
I guess that, like, that happened in Balandi. That happens in, like, Gajani. That happens in Gajani, Baby John.
That was what I was thinking of. Like, it's you just get a middle movie inside of your movie, and then the modern day is the outside of the movie.
I guess I've never really associated that with necessarily, like, a South Indian trope, but now that I think, like, oh, yeah, those are all South Indian remakes, and they all do that.
It happens really often.
Yeah.
But she... her dad is pretty rich. I think he's a businessman. I don't think he's a politician. He doesn't have the Nehru jacket, but like, he's a big deal. And he wants to marry her off to Harish Kumar, who's a local... He's this guy's fixer. He's killed lots of guys for her father, and his good behavior, like, going to marry off his daughter to him. But he's gross, and she doesn't like him, so she goes on the run. She meets Anil Kapoor, who... just kind of around.
I mean, yeah. If I'm on the run and I meet Anil Kapoor, let me tell you, I'm falling in love.
They meet on a pretty good scene on the train.
Yeah.
Like, it's very cramped. And he helps her get away and hide from the goons. Mm-hmm. And they fall in love with each other. They get married probably about 3 or 4 years of being happy until the gangster and his goons show up and kill Manisha Kerala.
Yeah.
Manisha Kerala always getting into trouble and getting murdered or blowing up or all sorts of things. She's always tragic. But we find out in the modern day that he's come to Calcutta to find this gangster so he could find his child.
Mm-hmm.
And Rani Mukherjee is living in this tenement building because she wants to write a novel. Rani Mukherjee is basically in a whole other movie.
And would you believe she falls in love?
She falls in love with the charismatic drifter. But, like, her whole deal is that she's kind of a tourist in Calcutta. Like, they go back to her house at some point, and she's also extremely wealthy and has a great house.
Mm-hmm.
And her parents don't understand why she's doing this. And to be honest, I don't know if I understood
because
either.
Because she needs the experience so that she has something to write about. She's too privileged, Matt.
Yeah. This movie, I like the action a lot.
I think
Saurabh Shukla is a corrupt club owner
who
gets kind of caught up in the adventure for a little while.
Yeah. I think this film has a lot of style. And I'm with it stylistically. I think its problem is that the mystery is not that interesting. And
they spend too long in the past.
Yeah, and the twists don't really work. Like, you can just kind of see them coming from a mile away. And I think, like, ultimately the motivation of, like, devoted father grieving the loss of his wife, looking for his son. Like, it just, like,
we've been there.
It's not, yeah, you know, and I think kind of in a, like, post-Kahani environment where, you know, you also have someone going to Calcutta looking for a missing family member, you know, that has, like,
I don't know if we can fault this movie for movies afterward.
No, I agree. But I think, unfortunately, what this movie has in style and atmosphere, the narrative can't meet it.
Yeah.
Like, it just kind of, the characters' motivations and their emotional beats, I just don't think work enough. As the kind of what is going on with kind of the criminal underworld that Anil Kapoor has to kind of infiltrate, as what's revealed of all kind of all the different characters.
It's also sort of confusing that he's so good at this.
Well, yeah, but it's all very kind of obvious.
Yeah.
Like, nothing is a surprise. It just kind of, that all felt a bit flat. The kind of, I think, central mystery of this feels flat. However, like I said,
the location shooting's good.
The location shooting is very good. The action is very good. I think the on-screen chemistry between Anil Kapoor and Manisha Kerala and between Anil Kapoor and Rani Mukherjee is very good. Rani Mukherjee, I think, provides the levity that's needed for this film. She has this whole running thing where she's, like, making up having a lover who's jilted her that I think is really funny. I think kind of your comparison to kind of Hong Kong action kind of helps me go, like, yeah, that's why you're having kind of some of this tonal stuff with this girl.
Yeah, there'd be a happy-go-lucky girl in those type pictures.
100%. Yeah. And so, like, I think that works really well. I think the boy is weak. The kid is weak.
The kid
is annoying.
Yeah. With this sort of movie, it's probably better to have the kid be way younger because then they're not expected to act as much.
And I wish that kind of, like, in the third act, you could follow a bit more kind of where everyone is.
Mm-hmm. It culminates at a subway station.
Yeah. Like, it just kind of, it needed, I think, some tightening up.
Yeah.
I liked it. Like, and
I liked it.
Yeah. And I, you know, again, like, this is definitely my kind of genre.
Yeah.
As people know. And so, you know, I would say if you don't like these kinds of movies, if you don't like a kind of noir-y,
Liam Neeson-esque type film.
Yeah, sure. Actually, yeah, comparing to the Liam Neeson films is good. But kind of like a noir-y action mystery. Like, I don't think you're going to like this.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, kind of the story's not the best.
You can kind of fast forward to the Manisha Coral part, right?
I don't know. I like her.
I like her too. But again, that is way too long.
Yeah.
And if this had been like a tight 90,
mm-hmm.
and like, I don't know, you could do the Hollywood sort of like, oh, he just remembers her turning around in a cornfield or something. And like, you get like brief glimpses of what his wife was like before she died.
The Dead Wife Home movie?
Yeah, the Dead Wife Home movie. If there was one of those instead of like an actual whole movie about her. Yeah.
Oh, you.
Yeah.
I'm doing the Dead Wife Home movie. Everyone knows what it looks like.
Yes, they've seen it. But if you did that instead, I think this would work better. Like, they're not going to, because it's a Bollywood movie.
But I like the whole sequence on the train.
I thought
where
that was
she's
good.
Trying to get away from the goons, and he...
Once the kid's born, and then we find out about all these people in his life, and he's stealing mangoes and all this stuff. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Kill the wife. Let's go.
Yeah. I wish that the story wasn't as flat as it is. But it's got a lot of style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That means I have to describe the plot of Welcome. Oh, no.
Okay.
I really screwed myself on this one.
Welcome. Came out in 2007. Directed
Why
by...
Why is this movie called Welcome?
The song, I think?
Did they think of the song first and then name the movie after it? It almost feels like... No, there's a few signs that say Welcome in it. But I was thinking, like, this movie could have been called anything. But they just tagged it with Welcome, which is funny because it becomes a franchise.
Yeah. Directed by Anees Bazmi, stars Anil Kapoor, Nana Patekar, Feroz Khan, Akshay Kumar, Katrina Kaif, Parash Rawal, and Malika Sherawat, with Om Puri as the narrator and Malika Arora in the song Haunt Rasali.
Yeah, she was very hot. I liked her.
Yeah. The film is inspired by Mickey Blue Eyes.
Okay, so I get that.
That's a Hugh Grant movie, right?
I love Mickey Blue Eyes. Oh. I think that's a great movie. It's Hugh Grant trying to marry James Caan's daughter.
Oh, okay,
he's like
he's
a gangster.
Yeah, okay.
I like that a lot. But I would say that it's inspired in like maybe half an hour of the plot of Welcome is inspired by that. And then a bunch of other bullshit happens.
Okay. It was the second highest grossing Bollywood film of the year. And it has spawned a series. So Welcome Back has come out in 2015. And Welcome to the Jungle is supposed to be coming out at the end of the year.
That was last year, Welcome to the Jungle.
No, it's supposed to be coming out at the end of this year. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not out yet.
Okay. Yeah.
You'll have noted that because we didn't watch it.
I don't think I would have wanted to watch it anyway. We don't watch all the Gomals and we don't watch all the Housefuls. And it feels like this is sort of that sort of genre of a bunch of wacky people doing shit, right?
Well, I mean, I think you're going to have to watch it. Now that you know.
Now that I'm welcome-pilled?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it looks like Ravina Tandon's going to be in it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's supposed to be out at the end of this year.
How do I describe the plot of Welcome?
Wait, do I have any other notes to share with
you? Anil Kapoor was nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, Anil Kapoor was nominated for Best Supporting Actor at the Film Fair Awards.
He's my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah.
So... Akshay Kumar is a auctioneer for paintings who falls in love with Katrina Kaif when he goes into a burning building to rescue her. And in fact, he faints and she rescues him. She is the sister of Nana Patekar, who is basically playing a comedy version of his character from Perinda. He's
right,
basically a comedy version of this.
Also, Katrina Kaif is dubbed here.
Yes.
Like, this is not her voice.
Yeah, and this is a very early film for her, and it's back when they kind of just figured out a way to, cover her up.
We have not seen a lot of her performances where she's dubbed.
I think
so
Sarkar as well we saw.
Yeah, but she's, this is a much
she's
bigger
not
role.
In a lot, yeah. Nana Patekar, he's a gangster who is trying to find someone to marry off his... sister to sort of like the guy in Major Saab, I guess, which I don't think anyone remembers that movie, but I do. Nana Patekar's best friend is another gangster played by Anil Kapoor.
Mm-hmm.
And they have sort of a friendly rivalry. A lot of dumb shit happens in this movie. They go to South Africa. No, they live in South Africa. They go to...
They go to South Africa.
That's where they go for the pool party. Yeah. They go for a pool party for about half an hour.
Because, like, the South African tourism...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, the Ministry of Tourism.
They paid them.
The tourism, main tourism group, whoever it is, someone paid to get this production there.
Essentially, this movie is just trying to set up, like, about 15 characters who get into hilarious situations.
Yeah. They're making a fake movie at one point.
Well, essentially, they have to trick Nana Patekar into not being a gangster anymore. So they make him...
Yeah.
They get...
So that's Paresh Rawal.
Who plays the director? It's...
Vijay Raz
is playing the director. So they get him to make a fake movie. So that Nana Patekar will stop being a gangster. They also get Nana Patekar and Anil Kapoor in love with the same woman.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's Malika Sherawat, right?
Malika Sherawat is the sister-in-law of Paresh Rawal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is that the one that they're both falling in love with? Man, I don't remember. There's too many people in this movie. But essentially
there's too many people in this movie.
They just keep trying to distract these gangsters from being gangsters. And it all culminates in an interminable sequence when there's like a house that's teetering on the side of a hill and all the characters are in there. People are trying to kill each other.
I'm pretty sure, it is Malika Sherawat.
There's bees. Yeah. The house falls over one way and they all fall over one way. Then they have to go the other way. There's some gags in this I kind of like. There's a car chase where Akshay Kumar and his aunt and uncle are being dragged behind something, and then people keep falling out of the car. It's essentially just slapstick, the whole thing. I did like Nana Patekar, who kind of has like a refrain where he's just like, control. He's trying to not murder people. Which is appreciated. I like some of the songs. I like the ending music and Malika Arora showing up.
Mm-hmm.
She was good. But ultimately, I did not care for Welcome. And now I don't really want to see Welcome back, nor do I want to see Welcome to the Jungle. Although I guess I am curious as to how all this this group of wacky people end up in the jungle, I guess. But as far as I understand it from reading... Indian people rating it on Letterboxd, people like this because it's a stupid comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's wordplay throughout of it. There's a Leila Manjnu reference that, I don't really get, but I know the term.
Mm-hmm.
This is just one where I can tell why people like it. It's just not for me.
Yeah, it's a string of hijinks. We have this like basic premise of how are we going to get these guys to no longer be gangsters so that Akshay Kumar and
it's just so they don't kill him.
Yeah. So then it's just like it's just a string of hijinks. So it's like we'll go to South Africa and we'll have all this like all the hijinks by the pool.
We'll
and
do
then
the movie thing.
We'll though. Do the, this fake movie thing. And then we'll have this, like, cabin that everyone is stuck in.
We'll do
an Anil
Kapoor doing paintings. I kind of like that the first time, that he stages still lifes by having all of his gangsters, like, hold guns to people and tell them not to move.
Yeah.
And, like, blocking traffic. Like, that was kind of funny. And I did like how shitty his painting was. That was also kind of funny. But then that becomes, like, a 20-minute subplot. I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
let's keep it moving.
I think, again, because it just jumps from hijinks to hijinks, it does, like, for us who, we're reading this in subtitles, and that translating this kind of comedy is really hard because of all of the wordplay, and there's a lot of characters to keep track of, and because the plot just keeps changing.
It's just a real Shaggy Dog story of it, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened.
Yeah, like I was getting really confused at times on who was who and what I was even following. Like,
Their gangster boss shows up, I think that's Feroz Khan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I think this was his final performance.
His
too.
Son Lucky, and then they accidentally kill Lucky, and then Lucky comes back to life, and they're trying to burn him at a funeral pyre, but it's actually Gunguru who's going to get burned in the funeral pyre. I don't know. I can see why. There's some bits that I think are funny, and I like the gags and stunts, but
well, and I like a lot of these actors, right? Like,
it is kind of a hangout movie.
Yeah. If I think if we had seen this early on,
We might not have watched any more Bollywood films.
Well, yeah, because, like, you know, I can't follow all these characters all the time, but I'm like, but I know who these actors are, so yeah. I can kind of follow the characters based on that.
This is so I kept thinking of T. Sparkhan the whole time, which is also Akshay Kumar trying to think of schemes.
T. Sparkhan's a lot of fun.
T. Sparkhan is better because it has an overarching story, which makes more sense. It also has Katrina Kaif in it. Like, the overarching structure of T. Sparkhan is better because it's based on some other movie. The links between this and Mickey Blue Eyes are pretty faint.
Yeah, and, like, Katrina Kaif, I don't think, like, she's just being asked to be a pretty girl here. Like, I don't really think that the film is using any of her comedic abilities, which you see
people didn't find out about, it, like, maybe 8 or 9 years ago people found out about this. This is, like, 18 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Like, she's so funny in T. Sparkhan. Like, that's such a good performance. And I don't really think the character, that they're asking her she's to give much depth to the character.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Akshay Kumar is funny here at all. Nana Patekar and Anil Kapoor.
That's what you're there
for. Best part of the movies.
Yeah.
Like, they're fun.
There's a bit where Nana Patekar, his gang is a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
He has his brother there whose job is to basically, anytime someone wonders, like, was Nana Patekar that dangerous? And his brother's like, he crippled me. He shot me in the foot because I did something. He tells this elaborate story every time. But there's the accountant screws a bunch of stuff up, and I liked that the accountant has to stand above a chair, and then there's, like, apples on it. And then Nana Patekar keeps shooting the apples and they keep exploding just to scare this guy. There's some, like, funny gun-based humor.
Yeah. I kind of feel like the best way I could kind of, like, flip this of, like, what's a Hollywood movie where you'd be watching and you'd be like, who are all these people? What is going on? It's like kind of like all those Adam Sandler movies where he's just, like, always hanging out with all his friends. Like, something like Grown-Ups.
Oh, I was thinking more like It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World, like those 60s movies where you'd have, or Cannonball Run or something, where you'd have to fit in like 20 people.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine the cast list gets bigger as these movies go on, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not, I mean, maybe we'll get to Welcome Back.
Yeah. I don't believe Akshay Kumar comes back for that one, but I think he's in the third one.
That is coming out later this year. Because
he's on the poster.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm guessing that they're just, it's a plane crash and they end up in the jungle and what are all these wacky people going to do in the jungle?
Yeah.
That's the movie?
Yeah, I think this is just, this is a really hard movie, I think, to translate.
Yeah.
Like, culturally, and the language, like, the jokes, like, we've talked before about how hard comedy can be to translate. And
we've never really gotten into Golmaal and Masti and A Houseful. Like, these kind of just wash over us because we're not, this isn't the sort of thing where you're invested in the characters, you're invested in the actors. Mm-hmm. And if you don't understand their wordplay, you only get the physical humor, and the physical humor is pretty crass and stupid. So,
and then there's a lot of jokes that are obviously culturally based, like the Leila Manju,
or referencing earlier ones in the series.
Which we don't really,
a lot of callbacks.
So it's just,
still don't know why it's called Welcome.
Because I think because of the song.
Yeah. It should have been called My Big Fat Gangster Wedding.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this predates My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah. I think, unfortunately,
Anil Kapoor is the best part of the movie, though.
Yeah. Get Anil Kapoor is the best part of three of these movies.
He has really weird fashion in this film. He's got a hair trigger. He's constantly beating up his own gang. There's a funny bit where they go to his office and he has, like, various punishments for all these guys. Like, this guy here has to blow up 100 balloons a day or he dies. This guy has to run on a treadmill forever.
Yeah, it's just a level of silliness that, not for me.
It doesn't hit the sublime silliness of Race.
Yeah.
Because Race has the structure of a normal movie, but it's full of ridiculous things that happen, whereas this is a ridiculous thing that has more ridiculous things.
Well, and I guess, like, how do we explain why, like, this doesn't work for us, but then, like, Amar Akbar Anthony does, or, like, Phone Boot does? Like, Phone Boot is full of all sorts of silly jokes that are references to other movies. Is it just because, like, we get the references? Is
I think it's just that Welcome truly seems like it didn't have a plot as they were making.
Okay.
Like, they had the, Akshay Kumar likes Katrina Kaif. her brother is a gangster, various shenanigans occur.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like they were kind of writing it on the fly.
Yeah.
And Phone Booth, MRI Par Anthony. I mean, that's a classic.
Well, but do you know what I'm saying? Is I'm just like...
That has a lot of people in it.
Yeah, I was just trying to think off the top of my head of, like, the comedies that have really worked for us.
Yeah. I mean, that is a big ensemble comedy.
Yeah.
I think
it commits to its plot.
They just
a lot
have a
more.
Stronger plot. Like, yeah. The plot actually matters in those movies, where in this, the plot does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, at the end, actually, Kumar runs off with Katrina Kaif. Like, they basically throw a smoke bomb and run away, and then the other two are running after them. Like, it's a cartoon.
Yeah. Unfortunately, like, I'm not
Calcutta Mail the best of these.
Yeah, I'm not like super excited about any of these movies we watched here. I think Pukar is probably my favorite.
And Race.
And Pukar and Race. We still haven't seen Tishan. I would really like to see Tishan. I have a feeling that we will really dig it. It's an ensemble action film with Akshay Kumar, Saif Ali Khan, Kareena Kapoor, and Anil Kapoor, directed by Vijay Krishna Acharya, who did Doom 3 and Thugs of Hindustan, which I think we are more positive on than most. So I think, like, we really need to see that one at some point.
The arc for Anil Kapoor, it's bending towards big ensemble comedies, maybe the occasional art film.
Well, again, like, it's not a bad decade for Anil Kapoor. We couldn't see Nayak. I didn't look for Chocolate, which is the Bollywood remake of Usual Suspects, which I think at some point we should try and watch.
Chocolate? That's the name?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, Irfan Khan, isn't it?
Oh.
But, like, it really culminates with, like, Slumdog Millionaire, which, you know, like, again, is not
a
Bollywood
film. That has to be the
film.
Biggest crossover hit, really, for any Bollywood actor.
I think so. Yeah, because...
Like, for all the Oscars, and, like, that was a huge box office film, too.
Yeah, I mean, Anupam Kher obviously has, like, Silver Linings Playbook.
And he's on a network television show.
Yeah, but Anil Kapoor is also on a network television show.
Yeah.
But,
like, Anil Kapoor had the biggest breakout of any Bollywood actor, I think.
Yeah. Obviously, like, Irfan Khan.
Apart from...
Did a lot in Hollywood as well.
Apart from Priyanka Chopra. Priyanka Chopra definitely breaks into the mainstream. That's later. Well, not the mainstream. The North America, but that's later. And also, if you're showing up as a hot chick, that I think is a bit easier.
Yeah, but she doesn't break in a way that's, like, critically acclaimed.
No.
You know.
She was in Baywatch.
Yeah. And she did get her own procedural, but, like, no one talks about, what was that even called?
Citadel?
No, not Citadel. The one that she did where she plays, like, a CIA agent in training, or is it an FBI agent in training? I think it's CIA. Quantico. But, like, no one... I couldn't even remember the name of Quantico, whereas, like, everyone knows 24. Like, he might not be the lead, but, you know.
He was, like, the main villain for a year, wasn't he?
Yeah, and, like, Ghost Protocol, you know.
One of the better protocols.
Well, I would say, like, you know, like, when people rank their Mission Impossible films, I don't think Ghost Protocol makes it to, like, the top or anything. But the Mission Impossible movies, people like. And,
they
like,
have
people
a pretty,
like
they have
Ghost
a pretty
Protocol.
High that was Brad Bird, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, like, apart from Mission Impossible 2, I think they're all pretty great.
Yeah, I think so.
And even the Mission Impossible 2 is not that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. The Mission Impossible franchise has a fantastic batting average.
Yeah, he probably did break through to the West better than Priyanka Chopra did. But I think Priyanka Chopra is more of a celebrity.
Yeah.
For the Jonas Connection and
he hasn't stuck around.
Well, he hasn't needed to.
Yeah, he hasn't stuck around. He hasn't needed to.
Priyanka, not doing so hot in Bollywood movies, so moving to the West makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She hasn't been in anything good since Bajram Astani. She's not even the main character in that.
Yeah, it's been a while. The Sky is Pink.
Sky is Pink was okay, but, like, that's not a huge hit.
And obviously, fame.
She's not Bajrao or Mustan. I forget her name, but she's the other one.
Obviously, fame and critical acclaim in the West is not the goal. No. You know,
It's nice if you can get it.
Yes. Well, I think, you know, like it was always nice to see Irfan Khan pop up and stuff.
Irfan's in The Amazing Spider-Man. He's in Jurassic World.
The namesake.
Yeah. He might have been in more. I don't know. The Jurassic World movies did a lot of money. Spider-Man did a lot of money. Namesake pretty well liked. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of them equal Slumdog for like critical acclaim plus box office. But yeah, Irfan also did break through pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, as I was saying, like, I think fame and critical acclaim in the West is not the goal.
No.
I don't want to in any way imply that Anil Kapoor has been more successful than any of his Bollywood counterparts just because of the success that he's had in some very popular Western projects.
I guess I've never really understood why Danny Boyle cast him. I'd be curious to learn more about that. He probably just saw some movies and thought, this guy rules.
But, yeah, because he does. Yeah. And he's so perfectly cast. Like, again, it's been a really... I kind of want to rewatch Slumdog Millionaire now.
Yeah.
I do remember liking it. And, you know, I like Danny Boyle. I don't really like Trainspotting at all. But otherwise, I think Danny Boyle's a pretty good director. Like Shallow Grave a lot.
Like, that movie was not pitched as... check out this interesting actor from India. It's just like, here's young Dev Patel.
Yeah.
Here's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Well, and I think like...
like it wasn't designed that way, right? It wasn't designed as like, we're going to break this star out. It's just sort of like, he's there as a supporting actor.
Yeah.
But also he's amazing and everyone liked him.
Also famously, didn't Danny Boyle give a co-credit on the directing of the film to like his casting director who is I'm now gonna look it up.
And also A.R. Rahman got an Oscar for that, didn't he? Jai Ho?
Yes.
Yeah. Or is it R.D. Berman?
No, it was A.R. Rahman.
A.R. Rahman.
Yeah. Or as Nicole from the Pussycat Dolls sings it, Jai Ho. yes. He did give a co-directing credit to Loveleen Tandon, who, from what I understand, was the Indian casting director who worked with him on Slumdog Millionaire. So she probably got a Anil Kapoor.
Yeah. I feel like this probably... they tried it with Deepika Padukone, too, in XXX. XXX 3?
The Return of Xander Cage.
The Return of Xander Cage, of course. And it... yeah, it's just never really stuck that way.
But I think that was more of...
that seems like stunt casting.
Well, and I think that's more of trying to make things international.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's a lot of... I think Donnie Yen is also in it. Like, there's a lot of international stars. And Vin Diesel does that.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel clearly sees the potential in having international casts. Because then the movies... like, we'll play all over the world.
The 2000s is kind of before, like, the China box office becomes really important for Hollywood.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
This predates that.
Yeah. I just think you can kind of see, again, we haven't seen all the films, but you can see an interesting decade where, you know.
He's adapting.
Exactly. He's adapting. He's really going towards comedy. He's really going towards these large supporting casts. And then also...
that's just what was popular.
And also this big Hollywood film that I think maybe it hasn't made him a household name here in the West, but he's recognizable.
Yeah.
You know, like...
you remember that hair.
And you remember the voice, and you remember the gravitas, you know, and like...
who wants to be a millionaire?
My parents have seen all of these things. You know, they love Mission Impossible. They watched 24. They've seen Slumdog Millionaire. I don't know if my mom could say the name Anil Kapoor.
She knows what he looks like.
But as soon as he's on screen, she knows exactly who he is.
He's her type.
Yeah, that's also true. He is. Well, you know, he's my type, so...
but, like, I feel like, as opposed to Bachchan, who we've done much more... focus study on year by year.
Yeah.
Kapoor is definitely paying attention to the vibes better.
Yeah.
He's being in different sorts of movies. He's not always the main guy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think he maybe just understood stardom at the time better than Amitabh did. and also didn't like have a production company that ran into the ground and almost die and join the parliament. Like, Amitabh just had a wild ride, but I think that Anil Kapoor is like got his ear to the ground better.
Yeah.
Doing these big epics, doing comedy movies, like,
well, I think maybe
he could do anything. Like they said about Irfan.
Yeah. It might also be like an ego thing, because again, you see Anil Kapoor really step into these supporting roles really naturally.
Yeah.
He's
fine letting Akshay be the main guy.
Yeah. And you know, they talk,
it's more fun to be the supporting actor.
Yeah. And they, you know, they talk sometimes about like, oh, they're going to get like Salman Khan in The Expendables or like stuff like that. And you're always aware where it's like, Salman Khan, Shah Rukh Khan, and Amir Khan are never going to agree to do these because they don't want to be in these supporting roles. Because
their star stature kind of depends on always being the guy.
Yeah.
Apart from Shah Rukh, who will do a Dear Zindagi every now and then.
Yeah, but that's a different thing, right? Yeah. You know, and I know Shah Rukh Khan has talked about the offers he's gotten from Hollywood and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're losing the plot.
These movies were all average.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah. So just have the 2010s, because I mean, I don't know if we can really do the 2020s till we're done.
I feel like we watched most of the 2010s ones already, but... Yeah.
2010s is going to be a great decade for Anil Kapoor.
Just remembering some of the things that happened to his films soon. Like, yeah, there's pretty good ones.
Yeah, I mean, when we get to Dil Dadakne Do, oh my God.
Yeah, that's the Silver Fox era.
Ah, so good. So thank you all for listening. That's the end of this episode.
Look us up on Blue Sky.
Check us out on Letterboxd. What are we doing next time, Matt?
You alluded to it earlier, but we watched the 4-episode series The Roshans, about the family whose last name used to be a first name.
Yes. Now, I don't think we have enough to say about those 4 episodes, so we're also going to be watching some of Rakesh Roshan's films to discuss.
Yeah, I think
So it's going to be like documentary and film discussion.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Matt, how can people keep up with the show?
Look us up on Blue Sky.
Yeah. Are you doing things on Blue Sky?
Yeah, I retweet myself.
Okay.
We
haven't really been posting lately on Twitter,
because it's
or on Facebook,
horrible place,
or on our Tumblr. I think we're kind of sorting out where our social media presence is. However, you can always email us at BollywoodIsForLovers@gmail.com.
The best way to follow us, literally, for this podcast is Letterboxd, because we're both on there.
Yeah,
you can find our handles pretty easily, and you can see right away what we think of the movies. And you know, we read all the reviews on there. Like, I love Letterboxd. It's truly like that and TikTok are the only social media I actively enjoy using.
You like Instagram?
Yeah, Instagram is good for like vacation pictures and stuff, but like, you know, I don't look at it that much.
Yeah.
But like, if you like this show and you've listened to us for an hour, just check us out on Letterboxd, because sometimes they put funny reviews and you know, you can comment on stuff we watched.
Yeah. We don't do a lot of reviews, but...
I do a fair amount of reviews.
Well, like, we don't do like in-depth reviews.
Yeah, no, I usually am just picking up dumb little lines and things.
Yeah. If you're a fan of the show, please consider leaving us a review and a star rating on your podcatcher of choice. If you would like to collect a biffle point for doing that, get in touch and let us know. Like I said, you can email us at BollywoodIsForLovers@gmail.com.
If you live in the States, we haven't figured out the tariff situation for biffle points.
Yeah.
I feel like we still have to talk to the trade advisor on that, because there could be tariffs on biffle points.
Sure. We want to thank Becca Dahlke for our artwork. You can also listen to my other show called Trash on the Movies that I do with Paul Matwichak. We're doing a Bob Dylan episode right away, so I'm recording it in the morning. So like 12 hours from now.
They should have put Tuffy in Welcome. I would have liked that. He would look good with the gangster hat.
Yeah.
Would have been nice.
I think you're right.